better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We finally made it.
Yep. Good to hey, maybe we'll know a starter sometime this week for the quarterback position.
Maybe. I would hope so.
Maybe.
I mean, since there's
maybe
a game
by
this
Saturday,
week.
Maybe by Saturday we'll know.
Yeah, Saturday, maybe around, I don't know, 3 o'clock we'll have a start or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's good. Do we have to talk about that again today?
Yes.
Do we have to go through it all?
Yes.
I don't want to. I don't want to.
But
we don't know anything new. Nothing's changed other than the fact that I guess Nick Starkel took the first team reps in the Beanie Bowl.
Yeah.
And your update.
Chad Morris will talk to the media later today. This will be kind of the routine as we move to game week, as Chad Morris, along with his two coordinators, Chavis and Craddock, will meet with media on Monday. So maybe we'll know more this afternoon or in the morning to give you a report.
I'm hoping so. Do you think today's the day when they name it, though?
Well, they got to put out a depth chart, and that doesn't mean they can't put out an or in there.
I'm going to throw something if they put out an order.
I mean, I don't know. This is just me reading tea leaves. Clay Henry will be with us in about an hour. We can find out what he thinks about it. He's always thought it's still going to be Hicks, but I know the last couple of scrimmages, including Saturday, Starkel's ran with the ones. Now, one other thing you point to Saturday that came out in the reports and reading what Tom Murphy wrote about it and others, Ben Hicks, when they were practicing victory formation, he was with the ones. So I don't know what any of this means, other than I kind of feel like it's going to be Starkel, based on the fact that in the last couple of major scrimmages, he seemed to have spent more time with the ones than Hicks. But again, guessing on this here.
Yeah. Because that's all we're able to do as far as with the information we have is just guess. But hopefully that'll be named today. And if it is named today, then we can talk about tomorrow just what people's reactions are going to be.
I kind of expect more splitting of the baby today, if you will. And
splitting of the baby.
Well, you know, what was it, King Solomon, that when the women came in and, the old Bible parable, and that,
yeah,
you know, that the women said, no, that's my baby. This my baby. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll just cut the baby in half.
Yeah. And then the woman
said, no. Oh, okay, then that's your baby. You know, I think there will be more splitting of the baby today. Meaning,
good to get biblical this morning.
Right. Old Testament. I'm going Old Testament.
Old school Old Testament.
Meaning, he's going to say, well, you know, we'll just say Starkel in this game. Starkel's going to start, but Ben Hicks is going to play a lot, you know. Both quarterbacks, we're going to see, and we're going to continue to evaluate. That's going to be a phrase. We're going to continue to evaluate. I fully expect that narrative today. So even if you name one guy, and I hope I'm wrong about this, because I think the best thing is pick, choose, and go, you know.
All in. All in on that one individual.
But I got this feeling that we're going to reward these other two quarterbacks. John Stephen Jones may get a series, but we're going to go a little bit back and forth with Starkel and Hicks. We saw that year ago. I don't know why, you know.
Wouldn't that make it worse, though, if that's how he approached it? Just saying, well, we're going with Nick Starkel, but we're going to make sure Ben Hicks gets his, too. Okay, no, that shouldn't be the case. It should be, this is our guy. We've been impressed by him. He's the one that stood out the most and showed the most consistency in this practice.
Well,
we're going to ride with this guy.
Isn't it safe to say neither one has separated themselves? And that word consistency that got thrown around, either they're both being really consistent or neither one's being consistent, I guess. Because unless this is the greatest cover-up in the, you know, for a 2-10 football team that I've ever seen, I don't know. They just can't seem to come to a conclusion here.
Nope.
There's nothing really to keep that secret, you know.
No. And you're hoping that over the weekend, that's when they use their evaluation time to look at it, whatever they're looking at. And then they've had a decision because, I mean, is this week going to change anything? I mean, is it that close of a race to where this week you're going to have to use it to see what they do in practice? Because remember, Tommy, both Joe Craddock and Chad Morris said last week they have all the information that they need.
Yep.
All the evaluation that they need. Yeah. So there shouldn't be anything else this week that you need to decide on who the quarterback is. shouldn't be that way. So that's why I feel like today's going to be the day. And by the way, Kyle texted into the Cherokee Casino hotline from Greenwood really early here in this morning, but he says, I'm hoping that Chad Morris doesn't name a starter, and then the Hogs come out and then Wildcat in the first play. Well, now, that would be a troll.
There's been a lot of theories. That's been one of them I've seen floated around. The other being this theory, that's more of a desire than a theory. But there's this other theory I've heard floated late last week and over the weekend about, well, he didn't want to name a starter now because if he goes with Hicks, Starkle may go to the transfer portal.
Heard that too.
I don't know. Possibly, I don't know, you know.
Then that makes it even worse. That makes your situation worse. If that's what you're fearing, if that's the point in time that you're at where it's like, you know, they got one of your quarterback that'll threaten to transfer out if you go with Hicks, kind of puts you in a bind.
That's the world we live in now.
I know. But then it'd be kind of disappointing if Hicks is outperforming Starkle. In some people's minds, it would be very disappointing.
Yeah, you're right.
Because that would mean that a guy that actually had SEC experience and had some decent stats at a place is not outperforming a kid from SMU, nothing against him, but if you're good enough to play in an SEC school, you should be much better than the kid that was starting at SMU.
Yeah.
But that's just how, that's the perception of it all. It doesn't mean how it'll be the case. But like you said, Tommy, Nick Starkle has taken the majority of the first team reps over the past week. At least that's what's been reported on in the Beanie Bowl on Saturday, which I know you watched entirety and you really broke it down. On the Beanie Bowl there on Saturday, looked like Nick Starkle was the guy that was out there. So
the Beanie Dip Bowl, that's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Go have some bean dip, Fritos, and the Beanie Dip Bowl.
What do you think about that? Is that like, because you know it's just like a glorified walkthrough. And,
right.
And then they staged a fake fight, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting thing.
Well, I mean, you got to have one of these, and they haven't had, you know, any time until Saturday in the stadium itself. So that was the first time they stepped on the new turf, first time in the stadium. And Chad Morris talked about, you know, there's just if a player gets ejected, who's responsible for getting them off the field to the locker room? How are you supposed to respond to that as a staff? There's just so many things. How do you run out on the field? All these little things that you don't get a chance. You don't need to wing it. You know, you need to know what you're doing and look organized game one. So this is part of, you know, leading a program is, hey, we need to be prepared for these 25 things that may happen in the course of a game.
Yeah.
So that's their chance to do all that.
Yeah, which is fine because I think that, you know, that is some of the things that we don't think about as being important. And I think that Chad Morris and his staff obviously want to make sure that they have it handled on their end. So I totally get that. But now that you're heading into this week, once a starter is named, like say if it is today, and once a starting quarterback is named, then I think everybody can start really putting the pieces together of like, all right, so this is who the guy is going to be. This is what we want to see out of him in game one, because that's what we've been told is he is the better of the quarterbacks. That's what at least how I think.
Right. Well, there's other, I mean, obviously we'll continue to look at this. Are you worried at all about this wide receiver situation?
And just the fact that they can't keep anybody healthy?
Right.
I mean, yeah. I am because, first off, you lose Deion Stewart. We all know that. You lost him for the season.
He's gone.
Jordan Jones battling illness. He'll be back. Or not illness. He was battling, I forgot what injury he had. Was it a... Either it was a leg injury.
Leg injury.
Yeah, I think it was a knee sprain or ankle, something like that. But he's not going to be out for a very long time. So he'll be back.
Trey Knox has been the one we're not clear about what is going on.
Yeah, and they keep saying that he's fine. He's going to be fine. But he wasn't in pads or anything for the Beanie Bowl.
Yeah, he went out there Saturday.
So, yeah, that's a whole weird
situation. Mike Woods
missed
too?
Yes. I don't know, man. There's just...
It seems like all the names of the guys you're counting on, not there.
Yeah. And I don't know if a lot of those are injuries, or are they sicknesses, or are they just being held out as a precaution? I don't know the details of it all. But it does worry me a little bit, because any time that you're breaking in a new quarterback, and you know that last year didn't have the most talented receiving core, you need all the help you can get. And some of the guys that we've been hearing about as being performing very well during fall camp was one of them being like Trey Knox. And then you also heard about the fastest guy on the team, Jordan Jones, and the playmaker that he could be. I know that Treylon Burks is still part of the team, and he's been apparently running with the one, so you can expect out of him. Michael Woods, I know that he was out, but as far as we know, there's no issues there. He might be okay, too. But it's a little concerning just to know, all right, is this going to be an issue where they're going to struggle getting the ball, getting off the line and being able to run these routes? Because that was an issue last year.
Yep.
And they need all the help they can get there at wide receiver. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what the crew looks like once game one comes around. Who's actually healthy, ready to go, because we've heard that C.J. O'Grady's coming along nicely from his injury. He should be all right. So it's a matter of getting people back. And I bet you anything this week is going to be very, very, I wouldn't say taking precautions to make sure nobody gets injured anymore. They don't need any more injuries.
Bubble wrap for everyone.
Yes, exactly. Putting on the green jerseys, yellow jerseys, pink jerseys, whatever colors, whatever they mean, just the non-contact jerseys, they're going to give it to them. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of that.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
All right, let's go ahead and get into my biggest groin kick right here by welcoming in this guy.
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Welcome to the most incredible 2 hours of your life. Here he is. The Clay Henry.
Yeah, that's right, folks. That's right. He's Clay Henry, Hogs Illustrated publisher, on the show with us this morning. Clay, I hope your weekend was okay. I'm glad you're on the show, I guess. So it's good to have you here on Game Week.
My weekend was great. I'm ready to roll. I don't think I look like John Cena yet, but I've done push-ups all weekend, sit-ups. If that's going to be my intro, we're going to have, you know, the rapper John Cena, wrestler, WWE. I've got to live up to that.
Yeah.
You know, but I just want to make sure you guys know it's hard to soar like an eagle when you work with turkeys.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? What?
I think he called you a turkey.
Called me turkey. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's okay.
I don't think he's talking about me. I think he's talking about you.
I do like turkey, but usually that's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Between that and calling me Sassy Dog last week, I guess the names are always ever changing here.
It feels like a holiday around here, Clay. It's game week, baby. I mean,
yeah, I'm ready.
We're going to do it this week. Good, bad, or ugly, we're going to do it.
My favorite time of the year, the ultimate team game, college football. It is. There is nothing like watching the teams come out on the field and realize that's 60 football players on each side, and they're going to do battle. And it's. I like going around the SEC. I love going into these stadiums. I mean, it's the smell of popcorn, and now the walking through the stadium after games and the smell of, and stench of beer. It's all going to be there, right there.
That's right. Everything you've always dreamed of, right there. So,
yeah.
Obviously, Portland State this week, still no naming of a starting quarterback. Chad Morris talks to the media at lunchtime today. How do you think this week unfolds leading up to Portland State on Saturday?
Well, I've kind of been on edge, you know, the last week waiting for it to happen, knowing that it would happen. You know, I thought it might have been the press conference that he had after the next day after the scrimmage. And I thought, well, maybe on his radio show. No, that didn't happen. Maybe there would be some kind of a tweeted release after the Beanie Bowl Saturday, since Nick Starkel ran with the ones. I don't know whether to read anything into that. I guess that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it is Nick Starkel, but I don't know that. And nobody's tipped it off. There hasn't been any. Now, I'm not on social media. Y'all know that. But there hasn't been anybody tell me, hey, it's on social media. That's what would have to happen. You know, one of my daughters or Matt Jones with our staff, you know, he'll send me a text. I guess that's part of taking care of the old guy, that you have to let him know when there's been news breaking on Twitter, or Dudley Dawson will let me know.
The Pony Express only comes to Norfolk twice a week, so you've got to depend on the rest of us, right?
Well, I've only seen it once, Tommy. I mean, after Friday, it doesn't happen.
So you've been saying.
I will tell you this. The mail lady, she brought a package down our driveway, which is about, maybe, what would you say, 75 yards?
Yeah,
down
it's not 100 yards.
She came down and put a package on my front step. Yeah. So I guess that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It was too big for the mailbox. Yeah. Hey, I had to put the mailbox in the ground, guys. I had to actually dig the hole and put the post in and make it compliant with the U.S. Postal Service. And they checked it, and and then they said, "Would you look at yours compared to the others?" And I had the smallest mailbox. I didn't realize, but when you live out in the country, you have a giant mailbox to get all of your Amazon and UPS deliveries. Mine's just a normal mailbox. Yeah. My wife has since said, "You might want to go back,
upgrade,
and get the big one."
Yeah.
And I said, that was the biggest one they had. She goes, oh, no, there's a big one.
So you mentioned a moment ago, Starkel running with the ones. That's all right.
Yeah.
But that's a break from what you thought maybe that's a sign. You have thought Ben Hicks all along since you joined us on the show. Are you beginning to maybe have a different thought about who it will be ultimately Saturday?
That's who I expect. And there's nothing that would tell me. There hadn't been any smoke signals that I've been able to read. And, you have to kind of, sort it out through code. And, I've had a lot of people tell me what they've seen in practice, and it's always been, this guy will do it for a while, another guy will. There's always been balance, and it looks like design to how the rep's been split with the ones. And there's been nothing to say that hasn't been the case, other than they had to put one of them out there for the Beanie Bowl, and it was his turn. That's how I'm reading that. But it could be either one. I don't think it really matters. I don't think one over the other is a tremendous upgrade. I know some people talk about Starkel's arm, but I also have heard people that watch practice and say that more often than not Hicks picks the right guy, that the progressions would lead you to throw it to this guy. It's both of them have adequate deep arm strength. Starkel's, those deep out 25-yard patterns, that I remember Mallett and Joe Ferguson throwing, Starkel may throw those with a little more crispness than say Hicks, but Hicks can throw that pass and it gets there on time and in the right place. So I don't know. I mean, it's I hope they get it right there, but I also hope they have it right in the offensive line, probably more so on the offensive line than quarterback. If they were as good other places as they are at quarterback right now, and I'm talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, mm-hmm. this would be a heck of a team. They're closer at quarterback than they are most other positions on this team. And that's just the opposite than it was last year. They were way far away at quarterback, and I think we all knew it. And it was hold your breath time when a pass was thrown last year. You didn't know whether it was going the right guy, if it would be in the right area, or it'd be on time. So it could be Hicks still, but it might be Starkel.
Clay, let me ask you. I'm going to follow up with that. You were saying that the quarterback's position might be closer than in the other positions are now. Are you saying as far as closer as coming to a decision, closer as far as being SEC caliber?
SEC players.
Okay,
SEC players.
Okay, so I'm just curious about that. Based on what? Based on just what you've been seeing in practice, based on talking with the coaches, where does that come from where you feel like they are to that level, getting that close to being SEC caliber?
John, I feel it through my skin.
Okay, that's good enough for me. I was just curious.
It's from watching.
Okay,
it's from talking to everybody. I mean, I don't talk to just one person. I think you probably read what I wrote last week.
Sure did.
Did I talk to? I guess it's three former head coaches, two former SEC coordinators have been through practice. Two scouts, probably 8 to 10 former players, some of those with NFL experience, or at least pro experience. Some of it was Canadian. And, you know, what they tell me and what I see, it all matches up the same. I mean, if you're hearing it from the same people that didn't think that was the case last year, but they do this year, then you think they were probably honest if they told you last year they didn't think that they were. I mean, there's one guy, he told me that he didn't think they would win a game last year. Well, they came close to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they won two. It's talking with people. And then, the difference in the wide receivers, the difference in the freshman defensive ends that, you know, are probably not ready to play, but they're going to play because they've got SEC speed. I think the cornerbacks are better. I think the safeties are better. I think, without question, the depth at linebacker is better. I mean, when you're going into the first game last year and you lose Dre Greenlaw and you put Bumper Poole out there who's not physically or mentally ready, you know, to play, and it sure looked like every SEC team attacked him and not Scooter. I mean, Scooter was mopping up, you know, running the alleys, going to help what Bumper couldn't get to or didn't, you know, take the wrong step. But, you know, now with Grant Morgan and Hayden Henry and Bumper Poole along with Scooter, you're so much better at linebacker. That's a critical position. I mean, that's the position in this defense that makes the tackles. I think Joe Fouché is better. I think Cam Curl is better than he was last year. Monteric Brown and Jarquez McClellan, and then you look at the depth behind those guys. You look at Greg Brooks as the nickel. You got Devon McClure who can play nickel or can play outside linebacker. I mean, this defense is much further along. And, I mean, you've got the same offensive lineman plus Myron Cunningham. You know, they're all a year older. And I think Ty Clary is in a different mindset and different ability-wise as far as executing snaps than he was last year. That will make a difference if the quarterback's not reaching for the snap. I mean, reaching high or reaching low. I mean, if it's coming right to him. That's just a few things. Yeah, you know, I think they're Rakeem Boyd was here last year, but he didn't know what he was doing. And he physically is different. He's got his shoulder finally fixed. Probably played with a bad shoulder for 2 years. Devon Whaley is a little lighter, a little quicker. Got a little more, maybe half a step he's gained speed-wise. Chase Harrell, I think, is healthy. Wasn't last year. Played with the messed up ankle a little bit. I think that this team is just. You just go through it. It's just a year further along in what they're doing. So yeah, I mean, but it's far as the numbers of players that could play in the SEC, it's a larger number right now. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to win 8, but I'm saying they're going to be more competitive and they'll win more games than last year.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Chadley's in Benton. What's going on, Chadley?
How are y'all this morning?
Pretty good, but you?
Good, good, good. So, the quarterback situation. So, let's just say everything is equal between Six and Starkle. You know, Starkle came in here, I guess, grasping the offense better than what they may have even expected, which has caused sort of this competition because he's got the arm talent. I mean, you can watch, you know, the videos and the practice and stuff. That ball comes out of his hand very quick, tight spiral almost every throw. And so wouldn't it be more advantageous for the Razorbacks to start Starkle this year to even look for next year, you know, to give them a better chance next year of competing as opposed to Hicks, who's here just 1 year?
Well, I think that's something that we've discussed and how it would make sense that if it ends up being Starkle, if Starkle is truly the better option, or at least they're tied or they're competing, to go with Starkle because you have that extra year with him. It would be more beneficial for Arkansas as a program for Chad Morris that if they had a choice where it was both of them were dead even and you had to make a decision, I would go with Starkle just because that extra year is going to be more beneficial than just having the one year with Hicks.
Clay, we've talked about having that natural progression that Arkansas had when you went from Mallett, you knew it was Tyler Wilson. You went from Tyler Wilson to Brandon Allen to Austin Allen. They've lost their way a little bit on that natural progression at quarterback, it seems.
Yeah, I think that all of that is true. And I mean, I saw the same thing play out last baseball season. Dave Van Horn played Casey Martin at shortstop over Jack Kinley, who's more than adequate to play shortstop because he knew that he would have Casey Martin back for another year, and Jack Kinley was probably going to have a breakout year with the bat and be drafted and signed, and then you play him at shortstop. There's a learning curve there. You got Casey Martin coming back at shortstop. There's something to that where you know your quarterback's going to be back but you just got to make sure that he's the better choice for this year. If he's not the better choice for this year, you don't play him because he's your guy next year. You play to win right now. So until they're convinced that Hicks isn't or Starkle is, then I think that's why there's doubt.
Yep.
And that's why, I have a feeling they know. They probably were told yesterday, and we're going to hear it today. But I don't know which way they're going to go. And I could see it being either way. And I don't think there's a bad choice. We don't know all the stats, all of the data. They've put them in similar situations, over the last 4 weeks, and they should have an idea, but we don't know what that is. But I don't think that's the only reason why you do it. And you laid out his arm is, the ball comes out of his hand pretty good. It does with Hicks, too, just not quite like Starkle's. The touch required in this offense in making sure you're throwing to the right spots and the right reads and the RPO, That's the most important thing. It's more important. In fact, Chad Morris told me in picking quarterbacks, arm strength is not the number one requirement. It is the ability to be accurate to the nth degree, and to be able to read those progressions in the RPO. And if Starkle can do that, then you can take advantage of that extra zip, for one or two throws. But by and large, that's not what's going to separate them. And it does with our eyes because that's all we got. I mean, we're not coaches and we're not seeing the practices. So we don't have anything else. So that's what we gravitate. This guy's got a little strong arm, so we pick him. Well, that's not but about 1% of what they're judging it on.
Yeah.
And that's fair. I mean, we don't have anything else. So if we're going to comment, it's on what we do know.
I think what Chadley's also asking there is, if all things being equal, is the second year for Starkle a consideration?
If all things are equal. But it would be a million things would have to be equal. Then you've got that.
Or the sum of a million things with the two of them, because they're each going to have their strengths and weaknesses. But what does it all add up to? Starkle's arm may be stronger, but Hicks leads him in other maybe more accuracy or different things, other categories.
The other part that that maybe we don't get, and that we wouldn't unless we were inside the building, is that who's got the team?
Yes,
and that is a big part. Who's got that magic, the charisma, the guy that has the it factor? And I don't know which one it is because I'm not in that building.
Who will they play harder for,
Yeah. I mean, it's like they want to play with the guy that they think is going to lead them to wins. They know they were 2-10 last year. They want somebody that's a winner. And, Starkle's winning record in Power 5 games or whatever at Texas A&M, it wasn't that great. I mean, it's the reason why Kevin Sumlin got fired, guys. I mean, it wasn't going good. And, he has those great numbers in the bowl game But guess what? They didn't beat Wake Forest. I mean, that's his record. And then you can go look at Ben Hicks's Power Five record. SMU versus TCU, that's not fair. I mean, TCU has better players. But it's significant that, you know, you want the guy that's going to help you win. And that's what they're trying to figure out. And Wayne, they're putting them in all kinds of situations. They're listening, watching the way the players react to them, how they lead in the huddle. I mean, I don't know the answer. And it might be that one gets to play and he does well, and you don't ever see the other one. Maybe that one doesn't play so well and you see the other one. So I don't know how it's going to turn out. I would guess that at some point this year you will have seen both of them in important situations.
Hopefully that answered your question, Chadley. I know that we went really in depth there, but that's again why I feel like if Nick Starkel's not named the starting quarterback, if they don't go with Nick Starkel this year, that's why it's going to be viewed as kind of a disappointment to fans because of the fact that he does have that extra year. And if they're really this close and they ended up going with Ben Hicks over Nick Starkel, that's going to make people feel like, okay, either Nick Starkel is just not that good, or he's incapable of taking that next step, or it's meaning that Ben Hicks is just going crazy with it and is so good and ends up being the guy. Like, I feel like it'd probably be more the first option there for fans, because they would see it as, hey, this is an opportunity for Starkel to take over for two straight years and really elevate the program, not where you have Ben Hicks play this year and then next year you got to start all over again with the quarterback competition.
Yeah, John, I think you're on to something there, but I think it's a little simpler than that. I think that if they win, nobody's going to question anything. If they lose, everyone will question everything, including quarterback. It won't be just quarterback, though. They'll be questioning everything.
And when you say win, you mean like six, right?
Yeah, where they're in a bowl game and, it's obvious progress and recruiting is still going good. That's part of winning. You win in recruiting just as much. If they step back and don't have the kind of recruiting class that they had last year, which I don't think is going to happen from what I see and hear. But winning trumps everything, and by the same token, losing trumps everything. I mean,
it's the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy, you're a businessman. You deal with people that are in business, your clients, and the people that you rub elbows with, just on a daily basis. And when Arkansas football is winning, everything in Arkansas business wise goes better.
No doubt. I had
my father tell me forever and ever that after an Arkansas victory Monday morning, the car dealers sold more red cars, red trucks. And, the passion of winning in Arkansas trickles down to business, in that people they spend their money more freely. They're happier. They're
no question.
And it's, and when it's not winning, then all at once everything is questioned. It's like you got bad vibes in homes all over the state. It's like, well, why, honey, why are you irritated this Sunday afternoon or Sunday night? I don't know. Well, the smart wives have figured it out. They weren't there. The Razorbacks did not have a good day.
That's exactly right.
And so if they win, there won't be too many questions about which quarterback they played. If they lose, there'll be questions about everything.
Yeah.
Fair enough?
Well, no, that is fair. But I also think with the quarterback situation, though, even if they're winning the games like Portland State this weekend and whatnot, even if they beat Ole Miss, if the quarterback is still struggling but they're still barely squeaking by, there's still going to be some questions as to say, well, is it maybe go with the other guy here? Because maybe that'll be able to put them over the edge. If you're going out and saying, and we're all talking about what if scenarios, but say if you go out and you beat Portland State, that's fine. But then against Ole Miss, you beat them, but you beat them because your defense was really good and you ran the ball effectively. But the quarterback struggled. Quarterback, whoever it ends up, goes 5 of 13 for 50 yards and an interception, something like that. People are going to start questioning, all right, so they need to go with the other guy. This is why this quarterback situation is vital for Chad Morris, because if he doesn't get it right and doesn't get it right in the early get-go, then there is going to be people flying in all over the place. See, like, okay, obviously Chad Morris, is he having an issue with figuring out who's the best quarterback on his roster? because he did it last year. Is this going to be something that happens every single year?
Yeah, that's what I just said, John. They're going to question everything, including the quarterback. Yeah.
Right.
But I will say this. If the quarterback struggles, I bet you see the other quarterback. He's in that, whether you just said it, that's what he did last year. When the quarterback struggled, he got him out of there, sometimes at halftime. I mean, it was – okay, I'm not letting you do that another half.
Didn't do it against North Texas.
He did it against Colorado State, and that didn't work. Yeah. So he did do it. And then he let I think the question then was, well, maybe I should have left one guy in too long.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that if the quarterback struggles, then you sub him out. I mean, I don't think you just keep going, and I don't think he will either. Frank Burrell subbed out quarterbacks. I mean, he went with Bill Gray, and then all at once he went with Fred Marshall.
Yeah.
And Bill Gray's still on the team. And he won a national championship because that's what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a gut feeling that Fred Marshall, he had Joe Ferguson and Bill Montgomery. And I think there were a lot of people who wanted to see Joe Ferguson, but he stuck with Bill Montgomery for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that is how you handle quarterbacks is the toughest thing for a head coach. And what we know about Chad Morris, he's been really good with quarterbacks until last year.
Well,
and I thought that was a blip caused by below average talent.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Josh is in Pea Ridge. What's going on, Josh?
Good. How are y'all doing this morning?
Pretty good, man. What you got for us?
Good. Hey, I want to talk about the hot topic, obviously, the quarterback competition. I just want to say I like how Chad Morris is his mindset with how he's going to pick this. I guess what you said earlier, the main factor is the accuracy. I think that's great. What makes me think of is I'm sure you've seen Moneyball.
Yeah.
It says, the big thing is he gets on base. Well, in football, it'd be he gets first down. So,
yeah, that's cool.
I'm hoping that's kind of where he's going. It's not as flashy as, going down the field and getting the big run like we're used to, but if we can get a first down, that'd be great. And given that, I think I'm going to go against the grain. I hope Ben Hicks gets it at least this year. And I think he's going to, because he's used to the system a little bit more and knows a little while, I think he'll be that guy because of that factor. That's just my opinion, guys.
Yeah. Well, appreciate the phone call, Josh, and call back anytime, man. Yeah.
I think if you're using the Moneyball reference there and about, on-base percentage and stuff, scoring in the red zone, that's what you got to have with this quarterback because he's talking about yards and first downs. You know, Clay, always think about that 2012 team. That 2012 offense, even though the team ended up with a record that was disappointing, they moved the ball real well between the 20s. Just couldn't get in the end zone in the red zone. We've seen some of Brett Bielema's teams that mightily struggled in the red zone. You're looking for that quarterback that can get it in the end zone once you get into the red zone.
Well, I think you're right. And Josh brings up something that I think is a perfect illustration of what Chad Morris is all about. And if you were going to say what head coach has Arkansas had that more closely resembles the general manager with the Oakland A's, Billy Beane, and the Moneyball. But if the movie's one thing, read the book. Read the book because it goes into depth on all of the background. It is a most wonderful book. It's probably – if you like numbers and you like to crunch them, this will be in your wheelhouse, and that is what Chad Morris is. And I think we all know that at Texas A&M, he was a math major with a minor in stats and the analytics. And he told me one time that his coaches, they cringe when he comes in with the charts and the graphs and the analytics. Mm. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing today again. And it is, if there's a way to measure it and quantify it, Chad's going to do it. And he's going to ask his coaches to do it. And there won't be a surprise that hits them in the middle of the season from a self-scouting standpoint or an opposing scouting chart that doesn't have the proper analytics tied to it. And he's gonna dive into that. So you can trust that what they've done over the last 4 weeks is that they've analyzed and they have statted all the different situations and they've given them similar situations, similar plays, similar, you know, they've prodded it and pushed it and needed it every way that you can, you know, like you're making a pizza dough. I mean, it's every way you can turn it and stretch it to when you put that pizza in the oven, that crust is going to turn out right. That's what they've done with the quarterbacks.
Well, and I think another thing that we could bring into when he's talking about just getting the first downs and whatnot is you think about, like, it's not going to be the sexiest thing because everybody loves big plays, don't get me wrong. And if they can go for big plays for big yardage and get touchdowns, I think everyone's going to be completely fine with that. But if you're able just to get that consistency to where you drive down the field and you're getting those first downs and getting them frequently, it can really wear down a defense, not only mentally, but physically as well. And at the end, and then the fourth quarter, it's going to be about, you know, which team blinks the most, and it's all about mental toughness and everything. And I feel like if you're able to wear down some of these opposing defenses in that regard, that's going to go a long way as well to where they have no answer for you. You keep getting first downs. You keep giving up those, you know, when it's third down. As a Razorback fan, you can probably understand how frustrating it was. It seems like for the past 4 years where if it's third and seven, third and eight, and the other team always gets it, they always get the first down, it can be extremely frustrating for fans, but also, of course, for the defenses. So I feel like if you just got a guy that doesn't have to go out there and throw big-time 80-yard bombs all the time like Ryan Mallett, if they can just go down there and just be precise, able to drive the ball down the field, lead the team down the field, score those touchdowns when they're in the red zone, score points when they're in the red zone at the very least, those are going to be the things that can separate those close games. Because you're going to be in some close games this year. I think Ole Miss is going to be a close game. I think you can win that, but it's going to be close. I think Missouri could be close. I think Kentucky could be close. But what's going to be the difference in those games? It's going to be the team that makes the least amount of mistakes in the fourth quarter. So I feel like if they can just get somebody that can do that, if it's Ben Hicks, if it's Nick Starkle, whoever it is, that can just be, keyword, consistent with these drives, that's what's going to make them into a six-win team, not just the guy who has to go out there and be a Cole Kelly and throw Hail Marys and hopefully somebody comes down with them.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. I mean, I think you nailed it, and well done there. I think that the quarterback that has a mesh with a receiver that they can trust, those guys to be on the same page on third down. And now you got to get to third and five. It can't be third and 12 like it was last year. They've got to do better on first and second down. In fact, I think Starkle was a little frustrated one day. It was scrimmage was all situational first and second downs. But it's getting to that third and five. And then Ben Hicks, when he had Trey Quinn, and, you know, they're doubling Courtland Sutton, which meant they had slot. They had Trey Quinn in the slot, and I think he caught, I don't know, 140 passes or something. It was something incredible. And so many third downs. And they ran the same play over and over, but it was an option route where Trey Quinn is reading his, you know, his nickel back, and he's taking him in or he's taking him out, whichever, you know, if he gets him lined up in one way, he beats him the other. And Ben Hicks could tell what he was going to do. And that's the mesh, and that's the quarterback that's going to, you know, he's going to be the third, I call him the third down executioner, and that he kills the other team. And if you can win third down, and if it's third and three and third and five, well then, yeah, and it gets to be fun. But
what you're saying, Clay, is you got to win third down on first and second down. That's what you can't be in third and nine. You got to be third and three.
Can't. So. No, you can't. I mean, it really puts the defense in a bind. But they've got to be better in first down, and then it comes back to offensive line play. Can they get some of those creases and in some of those those counters and things like that? So, but yeah, it's you know, we've talked the whole time about offense, and you know I think. You know, some of what's going to happen this year is going to be based on the defense being better. You know, I think it's not, you know, it's like maybe they don't have to score as many points as what we saw last year. And they got to be better at punt. They've got to be better in punt return. Who's fascinated with the thought of Treylon Burks being a punt returner?
Yeah.
Me,
I
am.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's game week. It's going to be a fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's so many unknowns when you start this season, and that's why we, you know, in the last deal, everybody's like, it was 27, the right number for, you know, for the betting line. I can't tell you what it is. I don't know enough about Portland State. I know Portland State's got a lot of starters back, a lot of lettermen, very experienced team, but it's, you know, you'd still expect more touchdowns.
But back from a 4-7 team that won 3.
Helping in the summer at the Arkansas Gazette do their football tab, and I was given at conference roundups or district roundups every area of the state, and I was in South Arkansas, and I thought I had really figured it out, and I called this coach. I think it's Strong. And they had 24 starters coming back. And when I say that, you know, they had some guys that started at the first of the year, then somebody got hurt and then started. But they had all those guys back. You know, sometimes two different players that started. And I called that coach, and he said, I don't know you, and you may be really smart, but you should look at our record. We were 0-10. There's nobody in our conference that wants these players back. He said, I'm ready for graduation. There's some good 10th graders. He says, these guys are no good. And I mean, I was just laughing. You know, sure enough, they went 2-8.
At least it was an improvement from the
previous season. But I don't think it was much of an improvement.
No, it wasn't.
That's
at
not
all.
What the booster club was looking for.
So. No.
I think that, and I don't think he was back at Strong. Two bad years in a row didn't do him any good.
Yeah, and let me say this, because I know that you were bringing up the defense just a bit ago, and I wanted to make this point as well. I think that, and this is just my opinion, I think that a lot of people are just really interested in the offense. Why we keep talking about the offense is, of course, one, the starting quarterback, of course, is the most important position on the field. But two, you know, I think this is Chad Morris's wheelhouse is supposed to be offense. That's what he's supposed to do. That's what he's supposed to be about is offense.
That's his identity.
That's right. And then last year, of course, we all know the situation that he was in. It wasn't his players. The talent wasn't there. And this year, you feel like he's really gone out and recruited some talent. We know the transfer portal has opened up. And so everyone's going to be looking at that, because if you don't have an offense, if your offense is not better or at least good, then is Chad Morris ever going to be a good coach? Because it's like, dude, that's your thing. And if the offense can't be good, then the team's never going to be good. It'll never be able to develop. And I think that that's why a lot of people are so interested in the offense more so than the defense. Of course, the defense has to be good. Of course, the defense has been pretty bad over the past few years. And in order to be a good team, you got to have some defense. We all understand that. But if Chad Morris is unable to get an offense going at Arkansas and improve, at least have an improved offense from last year, then people are really going to start questioning, okay, is this guy going to be the guy? Is he if he can't get his own thing down, then will there ever be a time where he gets his own thing down? It's going to be a question. So I think that's why people are really focused on the offensive side of the ball, more so than anything, Clay.
Well, I think they're also fans, and that's what fans do.
The offense is sexy. You know, more points is a lot more entertaining to a lot of people.
They'll determine the winner with points.
That's right. So I mean,
and I think big bad defensive ends and defensive tackles is sexy.
That's because you're like 80, and that's what old people think about. They think about old hard-nosed, grinded out, knuckles in the dirt type of stuff, and that's how what the really good football is about. Young kids these days are about the quarterbacks.
They're right.
Yeah, they're about.
And they're right.
They're about the points, Clay. It's about the points. That's the chicks love the long ball. That's what it's all about. Is about the points.
I want to tackle them.
Yeah,
I want to hit them. I want to smash them.
Yeah, and you're gonna look ugly doing it.
Then I want to do it again.
Yeah.
It's all about the QB, my man. It's all about the QB.
And when I tackle them, I'm going to put my hand on their chest and hold them there just a little while and say, submit to me.
Well, we know what Clay's all about when it comes to defense. Good grief. Hey, if Arkansas does that this year, they'll really be in good shape, too.
Got to break their will.
Yeah.
Got to break their will.
I think we're going to go in the ring, and I'm going to come off the top rope. And I mean, it will be ugly, and you will submit.
Yeah. Well, just make sure you get your walker over there to help you up on the top rope, my man. Just make sure you bring that for you, all right?
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.